We're live on Jaguars.com from the Florida Blue practice fields outside of Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. It's rookie minicamp day two, another gorgeous day and another packed house today, John.
Yeah, and I would say that we had an illustrious list of guests, but my understanding is Baselli's on the list. So we have to come up with new terminology.
It ruins it all.
It really does.
Tony Baselli scheduled to join us in about 5 minutes. Dave Caldwell, the general manager of the Jaguars, about 115, 120. Frank Frangie, the new play-by-play voice of the Jags, will join us. Of course, he's been around town for a long time. So a really good show over practice today, John.
And you're the scene setter of us, too. But allow me, a huge line out here today. You've got the construction going on in the background. You've got just about everybody in the local media here. And it sort of speaks to the energy that we sort of felt yesterday.
Yeah.
And I thought yesterday was big. I wrote about it on Jaguars.com. You know, this is, I think, going to be a special day that we're going to remember in terms of the excitement out here in the fans.
You know, they announced just over 2,000 yesterday for the first day of rookie minicamp, and the line today was way past the touchdown Jaguar statue and wrapping around the other side of Everbank Field.
Yeah, there were 2,000 people in line an hour ago. So yeah. It's impressive. I haven't seen anything like it. I've been back 3 years. I haven't seen anything like this since I've been back.
Well, let's talk about this a little more because a lot of folks claim it's the Bortles effect. I don't know if I buy that fully. There's a lot more to this. Gus, Dave, it might be more of a perfect storm type of situation. Right?
Well, when you get a quarterback involved, they're going to come out to see the quarterback. But I think most of the fans here probably get that they're not going to get a final say on the quarterback in a rookie minicamp.
Right.
I get the feeling from talking to fans. You talk to fans a lot, JP. I interact with them on the website. I get the feeling that even if it hadn't been Bortles, even if it had been Sammy Watkins or whoever else was in consideration in the top five, the energy is about liking the direction of the franchise, liking the feel, which I think sort of started when Shad bought the team and then when he brought Dave and Gus in. It's that sort of thing is a cumulative effect. And you're starting to feel it more and more and more. And I think with the draft, as you said, maybe a perfect storm. But I'm looking at the line, and there's still people walking up.
And it might not stop for a little while. It's a two-hour practice today, starting at 1:10. We'll be live up through Teamwork here on Jaguars.com Live. There'll be the noose drill coming up to begin practice. They'll have a full stretch period. And then individual work, individual positions, and then get into Teamwork. Same setup as yesterday. And they said they'll take a few plays off of the Teamwork today. Probably not go as long as yesterday, but they have not installed anything new for today. So, as we said yesterday, you might see a little more crisp play today in the Teamwork.
Well, and as we discussed, I think a lot of that is, unlike past rookie minicamps, or I'll just reference last year, that's when Gus was here, you had some learning going on the fly. Plus, if you remember, Saturday was a downpour last year,
unlike this,
which obviously is not. So there was some learning on the fly going on. In this, you've got a bunch of guys who were with this staff at the Senior Bowl, which might have a little bit of an effect on how quickly you can go. And they sort of started Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's right.
So they talked after this practice yesterday about having a better feel for the tempo and about having a better feel for practice because they do practice quickly. So it stands to reason that you would maybe see a little more crispness out here than you did last year.
You're taking a look at Gus Bradley on the Florida Blue practice fields. This is quite a scene today. Both grandstands are completely full already, and we're about 10 minutes away from the noose drill beginning. They're wrapped around the north end behind a rope. They were yesterday, too, but there are more folks today through the walkways between the grandstands than there were yesterday. A DJ playing music there, and I hear yelling outside still, John.
And this is neat because I think people, you asked me why they were coming, I think people are genuinely excited about it. Again, you're not going to see that much today that maybe translates onto the field in the fall, but you do get the idea that people like and are more excited just to be around this. They want to see what's going on, and as we all know, hasn't been that way in a long time, and it's neat to see that sort of building. It was a slow build before, but you get the feeling that it's picking up speed, and that's, of course, what Shad Khan wanted.
We're moments away from the arrival of the franchise. Tony Baselli is making his way in our direction.
It's the big moment for me, JP.
I know. I mean, for everybody involved here, we're excited to hear what Tony has to
say. He's
kind
of doing a stroll. You know, he's being cool about it.
He joined us on Jaguars Thursday on the phone the other night. Didn't even show up.
Yeah, he's probably on the phone from an office inside the building. So.
Tony Baselli's making his way up now. The pride of the Jaguars. Come on in between us here, Tony.
Tommy Bahama.
Yeah, you do. Nice Tommy Bahama shirt. Let's start off with this, Tony. This crowd today, the line was all the way around the stadium, it seemed like. It's been a while since this excitement's been
here. Well, I mean, Osh was here. In 95, we were never here because we were in Stevens Point. But this reminds me of 96, that first training camp. It was packed. But that was training camp. I mean, we didn't even have rookie minicamps back then. And if we did, Tom would have closed the practice, so it wouldn't have mattered.
And you'd have been hitting.
And we've been hitting full speed, you know, one-on-one drill. So, but this is awesome. I mean, I think, you know, let's give credit where credit's due. Obviously, with Shad and Mark Lamping and Dave and Gus. I mean, the leadership of this organization is as good as it's been since the beginning when it was basically Wayne and Tom. And so all the credit goes to them, and that's why the excitement's here.
Tony, I'm curious. You and I got to know each other as you were playing, and then when I came back. And since I've been back, you've been in the role in various ways as ambassador and as being out there speaking. Did you think that it would, I guess, turn under Gus and Shad and Dave as quickly and the momentum being building right now as rapidly as it has? Did you think that was possible?
Yeah, I did once you meet him.
Okay.
I mean, once you meet Shad, first time you knew he had a little bit of something to bring to the organization. Then Mark, like I said, a great president, great on the business and the vision of what this place is going to be. And then you saw when, you know, Dave's a little bit quieter,
sure,
you know, more reserved, but then he makes a great hire in Gus, and he's out there. And it's great because those are should be the face of this organization. They're the one who should be talking to the fans. Not that people like me, I'm not going to stop doing that, but hey, this is their team.
Right.
We're a part of the organization, always will be, but this is their team, and it's so exciting to see the fans respond the way they have to this group.
Tony Baselli is with us, Jaguars.com, live from rookie minicamp. Bill Parcells is here today, lives down in South Florida, made his way up for this practice, speaking with Bob Babich, the defensive coordinator. Tony,
have you ever seen so many names for a rookie minicamp? I was going through all these names. I'm like, who are these guys?
Well, 9 draft picks, 17 free agent signings, 27 workout guys here. How
so
do you sort that out?
So you're telling me not to memorize all these names?
I wouldn't memorize any of the workout guys.
Yeah, 10 of them?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'll highlight them for you later.
Yeah, make sure you highlight these and help me out.
That's the challenge this weekend, though. It's like figuring out who can play. It's the first chance on the field to see these guys after all this work.
It's a little bit of a couple things. One, you have to have enough guys so you can hold the practice and do everything. And so you want to bring things in. But for those guys who are the weekend workout guys, it's a very long shot, but you never know. I mean, you take a shot, you try to perform, try to do something to separate yourself, and you never know. You might be invited back. You get into camp, and then all bets are, you know, it's open competition. So. But most of these guys aren't going to be here, and everyone understands that, but you need to have enough guys to practice.
We haven't talked to you in this forum, and the offensive line has been such a focus for people in the offseason. I think you played a little offensive line in your life.
Once or twice.
What do you think, especially at the tackle position, but overall, where are they right now? Not necessarily today, but overall, as you go into OTAs and training camp.
Well, listen, it's going to be a young group. Mm-hmm. I mean, your left tackle, I think everyone has a lot of high expectations because we saw what he could do before he got hurt. So it was Luke Joke over there, and I love Austin Pazdor as a workings man right tackle.
And you liked what you saw from
Luke
before he got hurt.
I loved what I saw from Luke. I think he's going to be very good left tackle. And so, you know, you're pretty sure who your two tackles are with Cam Bradfield being that swing guy. You bring in Zane Beatles, you feel very comfortable there. After that, I mean, you got a center and guard that's wide open. Center, and the center is a very important position. You got Brewster. You know, we've said all year since he's been – I mean, ever since he's been here, he's got to get bigger. He's got to be more powerful because he can't get pushed around, especially when you play 3-4 teams. And there's a number of 3-4 teams in the league now.
Right.
You got that head-up nose guard, so you got to be stout. And then right tackle, you know, they get Linder from Miami. Mm-hmm. You got to believe he's the got the best chance.
Right guard, right.
Yeah, right guard. And so you're going to – but, you know, Drew Nowak is going to be fighting there. And so you just don't know, John, but I don't think any of us would have thought Austin Pazdor would be the right tackle going into the season as a starter, and I think we feel pretty comfortable.
I really like Austin. You like what he does. People want to discount that.
Well, you know, listen, you discount him all you want. Go watch the tape.
Right.
And the guy gets it done. Is he super athletic? Mm-hmm. No. But you don't have to be super athletic to play right guard. Right. He's a tough, mauling type of player. He's physical, he's strong, and he's smart. And that'll get you a long way in this league.
And I always maintain, probably from talking to you over the years, it takes time on the offensive line. Even if they get their starters set maybe week two of preseason, there's going to be a continuity factor that the first month of this season you may be seeing it on the fly.
Well, it's going to be huge. I mean, start the left side. I mean, Luke Jokel has not had that many snaps. It's almost like his rookie year where they're coming back outside the year in the weight room to get even bigger and stronger. Zane's going to help a lot, I think. You know, his experience coming from Denver, you know, the confidence of being playing for a Super Bowl team is going to be helpful. But it's going to take some time. It's going to be a very important training camp for this group of people.
Tony Boselli with us, Jaguars.com live from rookie minicamp. The noose drill is just now underway. They'll stretch after that. Position drills follow, and then teamwork. Noose drill.
Noose drill.
Why is it called the noose, Tony?
I have no idea. I mean, because let me tell you what coaches do in this league. Coaches just name things and make up names, and that's what it is. And so it's the noose drill. Somewhere else it's probably, double noose. I mean, it could be anything. The mongoose. But it's the noose here.
Tony, obviously the everybody is here to see the quarterback, right? I mean, it's the first time
they're
since
here to see me, JP. I'm disappointed.
Well some
the first time ever they're not here to see Tony Boselli.
I'm very, very disappointed. Yeah,
take us through how big this is to finally have a franchise quarterback drafted after a handful of years before draft one, right? Let's move down the stairs.
We're gonna go downstairs. Don't trip. I don't want you to get hurt.
But it's important for this franchise. Right?
Well, it is. I mean, listen, it's a quarterback league, and you got to be able to, you know, that's such an important position for the entire franchise. And so they took a shot at it with Blaine Gabbert a few years ago. It did not work out, obviously. You trade him, and now it's Blake Bortles. So it's exciting, but it's all about the potential is there. Now, I mean, what you saw on tape and what you see out of the guy and – he was, you know, a lot of people, most teams had him as the number one quarterback on their board. That doesn't really mean anything anymore. That was great for the draft. Now we got to see it on the field. And it's going to be, I like the mentality that Gus and Dave have with him, though. Let's be patient. Let's not try to throw him to the wolves too soon.
And in your opinion, as a guy who played, can that work? Can they hold that, you know, steady and keep the pressure? Because it's tough to keep pressure off of a guy who was drafted third overall.
It's going to be very difficult. Everyone knows, so Aaron Rodgers sat for a year. Well, Aaron Rodgers is behind Brett Favre.
Right.
I mean, that's easy. The best comparison, I was thinking about this, is Carson Palmer. When he was drafted, I think, 97, 98, mm-hmm. first overall, and they did not play him one snap and never were going to. They had John Kitna. And I think they were an 8-8 team, and he came in and started the next year, and they became a playoff team. And he was – people forget this, but Carson Palmer was one of the top five quarterbacks in the league before he blew his knee out in that awful playoff game. So – I think it can be done, but it's going to take a lot of a strong conviction by Gus and Dave to make sure that
which happens. You would think this is the right environment because they've established last year that they can be very patient and be very, I guess, future-looking around here, and they've got the support of ownership to do that. So I think it'll work on that level.
Well, I do too, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not worried about their conviction because if you question Gus Bradley's conviction – just go back and see what they're doing the first eight games.
Right.
And nothing changed. So he's going to do what he does, and that's the beautiful thing about him as a head coach. And then, obviously, Dave is the personnel and making sure everything fits. So, it's, you know, they work together well, and I think they'll hold the course.
Tony, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. I know you got a lot of work to
do. I got to study all these guys, JP. I got to get my evaluation.
We'll look forward to that.
Tony. Yeah, thanks a lot.
No problem.
Tony Boselli joining us. Jaguars.com live from rookie minicamp. JP Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. We saw Bill Parcells walking around today up from Palm Beach. Making the rounds with Mike Perkins today. Haven't had a chance to really make the way around earlier. I'm sure there's a few other dignitaries that have made their way on a beautiful Saturday today. Packed house here. Glad you're with us on Jaguars.com.
Gene Frenette's here, by the way, JP.
Speaking of dignitaries.
Yeah, speaking of dignitaries, so.
Well, news drill's underway, and the quarterback's getting loose. They'll have a full stretch here in front of us again as they did yesterday. And then individual position drills followed up by team work. Dave Caldwell scheduled to join us at any moment, 5-10 minutes or so from right now, and we'll get his thoughts.
And I know we talked about it yesterday, and it's kind of odd. We're probably talking to fans who aren't coming out. But if they are coming out, you know, some things to watch for – it's always interesting to see Jerry Sullivan work with guys. It's particularly interesting to see him work with a couple of young guys in Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. So if you're sort of looking for something to watch, sort of look at the way he works on the details of what they're doing in terms of the route running. By definition, receiver and defensive end may be the two positions that have the most subtleties to work on when they first come into the league, pass rushing defensive ends. Jerry Sullivan is certainly a guy who can see very quickly the details. And as he said on draft night, he was talking to a lot of writers about these guys. And, you know, Jerry's a very confident guy, as you know. And he said, I know how it's supposed to look, and I can get these guys looking the way it's supposed to look. And that's important for a receiver because the way it looks matters when they're on the field. It matters in terms of their route running. It matters in terms of what the defensive back is seeing. So Jerry knows these guys are going to be rough around the edges because almost all receivers come in rough around the edges. But he can smooth those edges out and get these guys going in the right direction in the next year or so.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how the receivers take to that, too.
Sure. And,
that's important. We mentioned it yesterday. Cecil right. Schwartz III was a guy that just kind of latched onto him and didn't go away from Jerry Sullivan for a year and a half.
And there have been guys who don't. I mean, it's not the easiest thing in the world to take coaching. But
right.
Cecil, as you know Cecil well. He's the kind of guy who's a very self-aware guy and doesn't mind coaching and knows he's got to improve on things. If you're that personality type, then you're going to thrive under Jerry Sullivan. I know one guy who thrived under him is Larry Fitzgerald. If you talk to any receiver around the league who's been up at Larry's camp, there's a lot of respect for Jerry Sullivan. I don't doubt that these two are going to flourish under him.
We are live on Jaguars.com from the Florida Blue practice fields outside of Everbank Field as the Jaguars finish rookie mini camp. Final day today. They cut off the final day of the what was originally a three-day practice schedule because the rookies have been in all week. So they take a camp day away at the end. So today, the final day to check out the rookies. OTAs start next week, and that's when the veterans will get back out.
And one point to make. This week, for every team, the Jaguars included, is about getting the rookies who will be in training camp that first round of, quote, install. They're not going to install everything, but you want to spend this week and give them a chance to get their eyes on it. You know, think about when you studied for tests in college. You did study for tests in college, right, JP?
Sometimes.
In theory, you would have looked at the material first, and then come back and look at the material again, and then maybe one final time before the exam, you would have looked at the material to be ready for the final. That's
okay.
How that plays out.
Okay.
So what these guys do is you try to get it in front of them now, and then you try to get in front of them when the team installs everything during training camp. So this is so that they're not coming into everything new when they start working with these guys in OTAs in a couple of weeks.
Jaguar stretch.
Didn't study either. Did
oh, no. I, yeah, thanks. I'm a little late for that yeah, now okay. to tell me how to do that. Dave Caldwell scheduled to join us. Have not seen him back on the field as of yet. Frank Frangie is going to join us about 1:30 today or right after Caldwell, whichever happens first.
Pretty remarkable sight right now, too, JP. We talked before Tony came on about the fans.
Yeah.
They have now are getting close to filling in all through the ropes all the way over to the second practice field. So I think we sort of knew it was going to be a huge day in terms of fans down here. It certainly is. I've never seen this at a minicamp practice, and really even a training camp practice down here.
Yeah, and Tony said it a second ago, Tony Buscelli. I mean, first season they were up at Stevens Point, but that camp of 96 might have been the next biggest time, or like 99? Maybe?
Well, you know, I'm getting old, so I don't recall things as well as I used to, but the energy certainly feels that way. And I recall in 96, these sorts of things were not open in the 90s. Right. So during training camp, there was certainly the energy. There were certainly people lining the field. And you had a buzz about things in those years. I don't know that you had this sort of a thing where it had been down and was coming back. That's a special feeling when you start getting that thing back. And
this is a live broadcast. Let's get in between us here. Dave Caldwell's with us, Jaguars.com live from rookie minicamp. What a crowd today. How about
this is unbelievable. And this is exactly, I think, Shad Khan's vision and our organizational vision to stay connected with the fans. And You know, when the fans are happy, we're happy, and when they're sad, we're sad. So I think that this is great. Tribute to the city of Jacksonville and some of the best fans in the country.
But it's happened. It's almost like a perfect storm. Yeah, the draft has just happened. It's the first time for the rookies, but it's been a long time coming. A lot of hard work. You guys have been out in the community and doing a lot of things too, and it's all kind of come together right now.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to stay connected with the fans and the community. The community is everything to Shad and to Gus and to myself, Mark Lamping. They preach community and staying connected with our fan base, and you know, this is kind of the product of us trying to do that.
You grew up, like all of us, liking football, so you have a fan inside of you. This is pretty cool. Even beyond the GM guy.
Yeah, this is great. It's football. It beats working for a living is what I tell people, right? So to be able to do this for a living and to work with great people like Shad and Mark and Gus and our coaching staff, our personnel staff, even you, John and JP. I mean, it's great. So
just glad to be on the list. That's for sure. Dave Caldwell is with us. You know, John, I think you made the point yesterday that scouts. It's interesting to watch scouts, and you were a scout for a long time, of course. On a weekend like this, after all the hard work's put in, you're finally seeing all that hard work out between the lines on the grass for the first time. That's a pretty good feeling.
Well, I think for us, it's really just the beginning of it. And now we got to work to make the decisions work. You just can't draft them and be like, okay, here you go. I think organizationally, from the coaches to everybody, equipment, trainers, strength coaches, everybody has to work to make these decisions work, and including the players. And there's a lot of work that they need to do between now and the beginning of the season. And we're already evaluating for next season.
What do you look for on a weekend like this? I know there's a limit to what you can really evaluate. The pads aren't a long way from that. But as the person who brought these guys in, is there anything that you want to walk off the field after this weekend sort of saying, yeah, I saw that and I feel okay about it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is for us and the coaches to realize that these guys can understand and to grasp the concepts that they're trying to teach. And that, and then just kind of focus on some of the weaknesses where we need to improve some of these guys. But just the fact that it's starting to look the way it's supposed to look.
And not to name names, but at any point in your career, there are times where you come out on the field on this weekend and a guy just
that happens. Yeah, and you try not to make too much of a big deal out of the first mini camp.
Right.
There will be guys that look great here this weekend that may tail off. There will be some guys that are a slower process that will end up being very good players too. So this is just the first couple days, and some guys just kind of mature at a different pace.
Dave Caldwell is with us, Jaguars general manager, Jaguars.com, live from rookie minicamp. Rookies were able to be in the building this week too. Does that help a weekend like this?
Well, yeah, it does. It would have really helped if they were in the building 3 weeks ago. yeah, it does. You know, they can start to learn the playbook, and they're not learning the plays for the first time that they're running today.
How difficult will it be? And we talked to Tony about it, and a huge question is Blake Bortles perhaps not playing next year. Mm-hmm. And I guess the question is, will that be tough to do, or is the environment here set up right where you can bring him along at the proper pace?
We really believe that the environment set up right, and that kind of the way the roster structure with Chad. And, you know, Chad started a lot of football games in the NFL, so it's not like we don't have a capable starter right now for Blake to sit back and learn from Chad and learn the offense so when he is ready to play. And it's a fine balance of balancing this year's, expectations versus the future expectations. And for us, it's, we feel like right now Chad gives us the best opportunity to be successful this year.
And you spoke to this a little bit, I'm sure, but it's always fascinating to me because I've been around franchises where it hasn't been the case. The owner has to support that when you bring in a number three overall pick.
Yep.
And he has to support the overall approach of the build. How important is that? That you've known that from the beginning.
Yeah, it's very important. And Shad's incredible man to work for, and extremely supportive. And so we communicate with him, and he asks good questions. And he'll play devil's advocate too. But at the end of the day, we feel like between Shad, Mark, Gus, myself, we're all on the same page. And that flows down to the rest of the staff and the players. And there's no mixed messages. And to have Shad have his support is critical for us and for this organization.
Dave Caldwell is with us, Jaguars general manager, Jaguars.com, live from rookie minicamp. Last couple minutes with you, Dave. Let's talk about some of the other guys that people want to see out here, those wide receivers in the second round. You've mentioned after you made the picks that they were almost equal in the building, that you would have been happy with one of those guys. You come out with both of those guys, and what have you seen so far?
Well, you are right. When we are talking draft scenarios, we're always talking Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson. And then when Marquise fell, we're like, well, we know he's not going to get to our third pick, so let's jump on him, and then let's see if we can get back in and get Allen if he's still there. And he, you know, he's fell a couple more picks, and we were just aggressive with it and got both of them. So the scenario of Blake and Allen became really good when we got Blake, Marquise, and Allen. And
then you
could throw Brandon Linder in there too, because we didn't have to trade up in the first round to get a quarterback.
Is that just, you talked about it and everybody did, is that just a fallout of it being such a deep draft everywhere and at receiver?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think there are teams that draft for need.
Okay.
And I know I've talked to a lot of GMs. They say, oh, we were really thinking about Marquise in the late first round or mid first round, but we had a bigger need at corner, had a bigger need at defensive end. So
right.
It's just, you know, sometimes it just falls that way. And then even in the early second round, teams may have felt they had a bigger need at offensive line. And you know, so doesn't necessarily say anything about the player, but it happens every year. And there's, even throughout the draft, there's good players that we signed after the draft that
right.
should have been drafted. And you think about an Allen Hurns or a Damian Copeland, DeAndre Coleman. I mean, some of those guys should have been drafted. Rashad Reynolds. And whether they make it now, that's up to them. But it's just, you know, good players fall mm-hmm. through.
A receiver. How important a factor is Jerry Sullivan? It can take a while for a receiver to develop.
Sure.
How important a factor is that? Did that play into the drafting of those guys at all, or was it just a confident feeling knowing he was there?
Yeah, it's hard. Well, it does. I mean, but we have one of the best, you know, receiver coaches in the league, and Jerry Sullivan, and he's got a good plan for him, and I know Coach Fish has a good plan for him, so I think we'll bring him along. You know, it's kind of, I think Gus talks about a race to maturity.
Dave Caldwell is with us, Jaguars general manager. We appreciate your time
today, guys.
Dave. Have a great day.
Awesome. Is this sunscreen?
Yeah, I need it for my five.
Dave, thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Dave Caldwell joining us. Jaguars GM on Jaguars.com live.
And as he gets out of earshot, let's note that not every personnel guy who's pulling the trigger on decisions takes the time to do that.
Not at all.
On the second day of rookie minicamp. And our fans, I think, have gotten used to us talking to Dave and Dave being very upfront about things. I can tell you from experience, it's not common, and it's a credit to him. He's a laid-back guy, didn't mind doing that sort of thing, but when he says at the beginning of his segment that transparency matters, the fans matter, since he's gotten here, he's put his money where his mouth is on that.
No doubt about that. And, yeah,
and again, not every GM would.
Let's echo that again. I mean, he has been so open and helpful for all the media, certainly us in-house, and that is very rare. This is Jaguars.com live from Rookie Minicamp. This is special teams period. There'll be a warm-up before individual position work, and then teamwork begins not long after that. So we have a little more time live here on Jaguars.com. Frank Frangie scheduled to join us. He's actually en route right now, the new play-by-play voice of the Jaguars.
You know, Dave talked about that race to maturity. I lost that race. Big.
Some of us are still running that
yeah,
race,
I mean,
hopefully.
I'm in a desperate, staggering effort in that race.
Let's reiterate again. This crowd is just jam-packed in here, and I'm sure it'll be a new record. I believe the record was 2,300 for a camp.
Yeah,
this is going to be far and above that today.
And not to scare people off, but if you're not here, you're standing deep in the crowd. And so if you're not here, you're probably three or four people deep at this point. So come on down, because it's a lot of fun. But it's striking the crowd here today. I keep going over. And speaking of striking.
Yes, the new play-by-play voice of the Jaguars. Frank Frangie joining us now on Jaguars.com live.
Frank,
familiar face.
See you,
and it's good to see you. And welcome.
JP, thank you. I was asking Joe, do they have commercials where like you can get the guest in? So you just go up. So there you go.
No commercials.
Kind of a new forum. How you doing? Good to see you guys.
Doing well. And this is congratulations to you. I know this has been a long time coming. You've been in this market for a long, long time. First off, your first thoughts when you were named the voice of the team.
You know what, JP? It was probably the most exciting, professionally, most exciting day ever. I mean, for professional stuff, I humbled, kind of couldn't believe it for a second. You know, I said, wow, that's pretty cool. And, yeah, I was just I'm not speechless very often, bro, okay? But that's probably as close as I've come to speechless. But I'm very humbled. I know how important this franchise is to this city. People care deeply about it, and I know that. And I think that's why it's a big deal to me to try and get this thing right. And I'm honored. I think Brian set the bar high. I really do. He's a wonderful guy. And it's up to me now to kind of carry that forward. I'm excited about that.
I know you've probably gone over this on your show, but for our viewers, you'll still be doing your radio show during the week and still be very involved with the Jaguars. How?
You know, that's a good question. First of all, my radio day doesn't change.
Right.
I'm still going to be the afternoon with Rick Ballew and Brett Martineau and Jessica Blaylock. My change will be I won't do the college games anymore.
Right.
I've done the college game of the week for many years. I won't do that anymore. I want to hopefully have an opportunity to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have an opportunity to host events. I want to, and I think Dan and I need to sit down, and Mark and I need to sit down and figure out what that means mm-hmm. specifically. But I want to be around. I want to learn more about this team. You know, we've covered this team here and there for 20 years, mm-hmm. but it's been while we do the same thing with the Gators and the Seminoles, John, and all the other stuff. And now it's a chance to have one team, now to be involved with one team and to be what this team needs. So I'm going to learn more of that as we go, learn more about these guys, and just excited about the whole process.
Frank Frangie is with us, new play-by-play voice of the Jaguars from 1010XL. We were talking about this earlier today when we spoke. This crowd today is just over the top. The line was way around the stadium today. It's been a long time since this sense of excitement has been around this franchise.
Maybe the first or second year. John was here. He knows. I think, JP, it hasn't felt like this since probably the first two or three years of the franchise. When we were awarded, when our city was awarded the team, I remember the buzz. We did a show down at the Landing. I've done radio forever, bro. Okay. So we did a show down from the Landing, and I can remember the buzz then. I can remember the buzz when we found out that the Super Bowl was coming. Wayne Weaver got the Super Bowl here. I can remember when they played their first game. I was in Canton, Ohio. We did a live show from when they played the Panthers in Canton, and I remember this incredible buzz. And, of course, in the playoff run in the second year, I think this compares to all that. It's different than 99, because 99, they probably had the best team in the league, but that was different. That was almost something you expected. It almost felt like they were the Patriots or the Packers or one of the good teams. This feels to me much like it felt in 96 when – Look at this place. Look at these fans. It was all to the end of the stadium, the line. So it's what a wonderful time to be involved in this thing, for sure.
And I always maintain, Frank, that you only get that a few times because it's got to be fresh, and you can't have that burden of expectations. And again, in 99, I can remember being out the night before that championship game, and the city thought they were going to win. It was, you know, they felt like it was due them. You only get this sort of feeling when you're still sort of looking ahead with hope. And I think that may be the operative word, isn't it? That for the first time in a while, people look at Dave and Gus and Shad, and they feel hopeful about what's going on down there.
I think hope is the word, John. And I think watching this whole thing unfold, Shad, you could tell out of the gate, was going to be a good owner.
Right.
You know, you could just tell. There was the charisma about him. Mark has been so successful as a business executive with the Cardinals, so you knew the right guys were here, right? And then and then the way people have responded to Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, you know, it's been talked about so much,
right?
You almost think, can people really feel that great about
right.
a GM and a coach of a team that won four games? But they do. This is an upwardly mobile team. I think Jason LaCanfora refers to them as the ever-improving Jaguars. Well, that's a good thing to have, right?
Right.
To be
right.
ever-improving is good, so Yeah, I think there's a great buzz about him, and I do. It's not like 99 to me.
Right.
It's like 96 to me, very much like that.
And you have – I'm sorry, JP. You have a little different perspective. We hear a lot from people who are all about this team, of
right.
course. And for a while, you were a station not affiliated with the team, so you got maybe a little more of an overall feel. But you feel like even the people who maybe weren't all on board – a year and a half ago are starting to get it as well, which is an important step.
I'll tell you a story, John. When I got when it was announced that I was going to do the games, heard from people, congratulations, texts and calls, got a voicemail from Jeremy Foley, one of my dear friends, the athletic director
uh-huh.
at Florida, and we've obviously covered a lot of Florida over the years, right? Got a voicemail from Jeremy. Hey, Frank, congratulations, really happy for you, blah, blah, blah. You've earned it, and I'm proud of you. Then it continued on. I've met Gus Bradley. I've met Dave Caldwell. I've had the opportunity to meet Mark Lamping and Shad Khan.
Right.
And I really think they're going in the right direction. And this is unsolicited.
Right.
This is the athletic director at the University of Florida, who probably knows something about success,
mm-hmm.
saying when in the voice message he left me, I think perfect time to get on board with this team.
Right.
I really think they're going in the right direction. There's a guy in Gainesville.
Right.
Doesn't come to these games. He's got stuff to do in the fall, right?
Right.
But feels that way. So I think that probably speaks to what you're asking. People that aren't necessarily – in Jaguar Nation,
mm-hmm.
but on the periphery can sense what's happening, because I think they really can.
And starting to hear that story more and more often, JP.
Frank Frangie is with us. Let's step down on the stair here so we can get a better shot of what's going on behind us.
Okay.
Frank Frangie, new play-by-play voice of the Jags, joining us. Jaguars.com live from rookie minicamp. JP Shadrick with John Osier. You know, let's talk about this team on the field now. Of course, a lot of folks are here to see Bortles. We've talked about it with Dave. We talked about it with Tony Boselli. It's important to have a franchise type of quarterback, whether or not he plays this year, and some kind of hope for the future there, right?
You know, and not only that, JP, I think what as we're watching this whole thing unfold, the beauty of this situation is there doesn't have to be a sense of urgency with Blake, but it's okay if it happens fast. Dave and Gus have both been very transparent and very clear. Chad Henne's our quarterback. Now, in my opinion, that means until he's not, right? But I think the beauty of that is there doesn't you don't have to have this guy play right away. This is I watch these other franchises, and John, you know, you cover the league so closely for so many years. The Falcons, they may need to win now. There's some teams that the front office, the coach, have to win now. So then there's this sense of urgency. Here, I think this thing, and I'm not just saying that, I really believe this, I think this thing is being built at the right pace, so no one's panicking. Now, you got to show improvement. The whole idea is to show improvement, but I think it's been built at the proper pace. So I think Blake Bortles, yes, he's the face of the franchise. He's the future franchise quarterback. We hope he's here 10, 12 years going to Pro Bowls and winning Super Bowls, right? But if that happens 8 games into this season or game 1 of next season, I don't know that it matters. I think there's not a panicky time here, and I think that matters. I really do.
Did you get the feeling, Frank, as I did, that maybe people at first were shocked by the Bortles pick because they didn't expect it, the team hadn't talked about it, and then over the course of a couple of days, people sort of started looking at it and go, okay, I get it, and they like it, that it sort of felt like a Dave decision, so it sort of made sense.
I totally agree, particularly the first part of what you said. What tends to happen, John, and I believe this, the McShays and the Kuipers or whoever the analysts are.
The Priscos.
The Priscos, for God's sake. How do I forget my man Pete? They tell us who should be the first 3 or 4 picks. And by Thursday, they weren't telling us that Blake should be one of the first 3 or 4 picks. So now he becomes the third pick, and people say, wait a minute. The analysts didn't tell us that. They told us Sammy Watkins. I was excited about Sammy Watkins. I was excited about Khalil Mack. We said on our broadcast with Jeff and Tony on our team broadcast, when people get to thinking about this, you can't be unhappy with the quarterback. I mean, no one's unhappy with the quarterback. That's one part. John, I think the other part was, I said this and I really believe this. I said Friday on my show, before round 2, once they get some receivers, which you know they're right. going to do, then people will feel better about the pick of a quarterback, because now you're not worried about the fact that, yeah, you got your franchise quarterback, but, man, Sammy Watkins, you didn't get him. Well, once Marquise Lee's in the fold, Allen Robinson's in the fold, now you feel even better about Blake Bortles, and I think that's what happened over 3 days.
Yep. And this team, we talked about a little bit, this team believed that Blake was far and away the best quarterback in this draft. And as time has gone on from the draft, you're starting to hear little reports that they weren't the only team that felt that way. So who knows how it's going to play out, but if you wanted a quarterback, this was the guy to try to get this year.
John, he's 6'5", he's 235, he's fast, he's athletic, he's got a big arm, and apparently from everything you hear, and we'll learn this as we go, I don't know it yet, just from what I hear, the software is all right. He's not afraid. Yeah, I'll throw. You want me to work out? I'll work out. Apparently, and you guys know this better than I do because you've talked to Dave about it, apparently he walked in there and just won that room
when he
came here to visit. So the hardware is obviously there, right? The software, does it take a guy a little longer to get on the field because he hasn't played against Ohio State and Michigan and USC and Texas and Alabama? Maybe. But in the big picture, again, there's no rush to urgency here. Of course, as I looked at all the quarterbacks, Johnny Manziel is going to be good, but he is 5'11". Teddy Bridgewater is a little slight of build. If you look at all the guys, this is the one guy that the software and the hardware all seem to add up. So, no, fans should be really excited about that.
Frank Frangie, new play-by-play voice of the Jags from 1010XL. It's a pleasure to see you. Thank you for your time today, and have a good one.
JP and John, thank you. I can't wait to get started. It's 3 more months. I'm ready for 3 months to pass. Thanks, dude.
Great stuff.
Thanks, Frank.
Frank Frangie joining us.
I've never won a room, JP. You were talking about Blake. I've never won a room. I've never walked in and won it.
Wow.
It's on the bucket list.
Well, it's at some point. Keep hope alive, John.
Maybe next week sometime.
JP Shadrick with John Osier. We're live from rookie minicamp at the Florida Blue practice fields outside of Everbank Field. Position drills happening right now. You're taking a close look at Blake Bortles and the quarterbacks out in the middle of the field. The position group in front of us, wide receivers working with Jerry Sullivan. Down on the far end of field one to the right, offensive line. All the defensive guys are on field two. You'll hear a lot today and inside the Jaguars driven by Tom Buscemini a little later today about the defensive picks. Chris Smith on the defensive line. Telvin Smith kind of flashed some speed yesterday in the first rookie minicamp practice. And we'll cover those a lot a little later this afternoon.
And interesting, I'll write this for the site in the next couple of days. I went around to some of the rookies who didn't get drafted yesterday.
Yeah.
DeAndre.
Coleman?
Coleman. That's the guy. Talked to him. Stephen Morris, Rashad Reynolds. And I kind of asked each of them why the Jaguars. And it was interesting that all of them said that there was some sort of a connection. Reynolds had been recruited by defensive backs coach.
Dwayne Walker.
I'm drawing a blank today. Long, long broadcast. Stephen Morris knew Jed Fish. Other guys knew the coordinators on each team. DeAndre Coleman had been with him at the Senior Bowl. And it really struck you that a lot of these guys who fans perhaps think have a real chance to make the team, they believe, they're coming in thinking they have a good chance to make the team because of those connections. They're not flying blind in here. So it just sort of speaks to the importance of how that day after the draft plays out, where you're getting these phone calls from agents and from teams, and the agents are fielding calls from the teams, and yet there's something in those guys that says, okay, I can maybe go make it here. So those are some guys to watch that maybe have a chance because they have a real feel for what's going on here.
One of those players that was not here yesterday was Craig Lawston from LSU. He is here today wearing number 39 with the defensive backs. He was at commencement ceremonies at LSU yesterday. So he is back and on the field today for this team. He's a guy that could be in that group, too, of guys that could have been drafted. A lot of guys were high on him coming out, two-year starter at LSU for a great defense and Les Miles.
Well, Dave mentioned when he was on with us, there were a lot of guys in this draft, and Lawston and Coleman and Reynolds sort of stick out because there were people who had those guys in the top three rounds, four or five rounds. There were guys in this draft because of the depth that slipped. And I talked to Coleman yesterday. Coleman, real late in the locker room period yesterday. He's really upset he didn't get drafted. And he used some fairly, descriptive verbiage to say how upset he was. So he's coming in with a chip on his shoulder, and he's a guy, when you look at the positions these guys signed at, Lawston, Coleman, Reynolds, there would seem to be spots. Their task is doable. It's not a long shot that they would make the team. So the fit seems right, and as Reynolds pointed out, he's done some research into this, Reynolds has, about 30% of the guys in this league didn't get drafted. So it's not absurd at all to think that these guys could be on the roster.
We're live on Jaguars.com from Rookie Minicamp. You're looking at wide receiver position drills with Jerry Sullivan, the wide receivers coach with the yellow shoes, and the Jaguars rookie wide receivers. This is Damian Copeland out of Louisville. Played, of course, alongside Teddy Bridgewater for the Cardinals. 11 is Marquise Lee, the second-round pick. Number 80 is Allen Robinson, the second-round pick for the Jaguars this year.
And just interesting, too, to see them working with Jerry. I keep going back to the phrase that Jerry used when he was talking to the writers after the draft of knowing what he wants to see. And being able to translate that, he's working with Marquise Lee now. His knowledge of how it's supposed to look and his ability to verbalize that to the receiver and have it be in an understandable way. Again, I don't know how much longer he wants to do this, but you get the idea that, he may be looking at Lee and Robinson as sort of the guys that he can leave his legacy with. And kind of leave them pointed in the right direction. He told me a couple years ago he wanted to push Cecil in the right direction before he got out of it. So certainly he has a chance with these three guys, Cecil and Robinson and Lee, to leave an impact on this organization, certainly.
Gus Bradley with a close eye on this group today. Head coach, hands on his knees, kind of leaning in, looking. Tony Sorrentino working out with this group today, too. Assistant coach for the Jags. Bortles throwing to tight ends now in the middle of field one. A few different positions at once. We're stuck now in the wide receivers for the moment.
Huge amount of reps for Blake yesterday, too. He took 50 of the snaps compared to Morris taking about 15.
Did he go back off today?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, it's you would expect that, but it was still notable that he took that many and he got all the reps. He was not, as we talked about, not absolutely fantastic on the deep throws yesterday, but he had a lot of throws, intermediate routes, where he looked really, really good and, you know, seemed to maybe be developing the first inkling of some chemistry with Marquise Lee.
One day. You know, that's the one
thing.
Yeah,
that's why you don't make too much of it. If he misses some receivers, if there's some stuff that doesn't look quite right, you know, especially in the passing game, there's so much about the receivers knowing where to go, him knowing where to go. He's working on some footwork thing they want to work with him on. So, you know, this is about the fans getting a chance to see this kid.
And, you know, just going back to what Blake told us in the car ride from the airport, of all things, you know, he doesn't worry about if he knows his receivers or not. That's what he said at the combine.
Right.
If they're going to go 12 yards, come back to 10, throw it between the cones, and the guy will be there. And that's pretty much the case in a camp like this. You don't have the chemistry yet.
Exactly right. And that'll work out as it goes. And, I mean, it is sort of a neat concept, and we're not going to see it today. Obviously, it's a long time for it to play out. But it's not that routine that you would have a quarterback coming in with two second-round receivers. So if by chance all three of those would work out, boy, what a thing you have for the long haul. That's pretty rare, and the odds would say that not all three of those guys become Pro Bowlers. But if you're talking about chemistry, talking about building together, that could be something special to watch for the future.
Quarterbacks now with wide receivers. Of course, Blake Bortles, number 3 overall pick. Stephen Morris out of Miami wearing number 6. And they're getting work in with all the receivers. Gus Bradley here close by still. Jed Fish, visor on. Like Spurrier out there.
Frank Selfo getting it done.
That's right. Jerry Sullivan making the round still. Following this position drill group here, they'll go into teamwork, and that'll be the end of our coverage today on Jaguars.com Live.
As you said yesterday, that'll be the end of us.
A lot of things could be the end of us.
This broadcast might be.
J.P. Shadrick with John Osier from the Florida Blue Practice Fields, an absolutely overflow packed house today.
Second great day in a row.
Awesome.
I mean, you can't add, it's not too hot. You know, you can't ask for any better than this. And it's, again, as yesterday was, this is a special day.
We'll hear an official attendance count after practice today. They announced over 2,000 yesterday, and there were still plenty of seats. Well, not plenty. There were some seats in the grandstand and some standing room areas. Well, today they had to extend the standing room on the north end of the practice fields halfway into field 2, which is really unheard of, especially for a rookie minicamp.
It's a rookie minicamp, JP, for goodness sake.
Unbelievable.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable for training camp.
Yeah, this would be a great training camp crowd. And you get it for a rookie minicamp. And again, as we said at the top, I don't think it's all about Blake. I think, you know, we sort of beaten the storyline to death, but this is an example that people are starting to get what's going on. They're excited about it, and they feel like it's okay to be excited about this team right now. And that's, you know, as everybody knows, it's been a while since people have, I think last year they were optimistic about Gus and Dave. Now they've started to see it. They've been hearing the same message. They know it's not just a one-year thing. And again, you know, it's neat to see people being genuinely excited.
Taking a look at wide receivers and quarterbacks again. Blake Bortles on the far side. Marquise Lee working with Morris on the near side. Far side Bortles to Allen Robinson. Get used to that connection.
Yep.
You know, and as we said before, it's just hard on a camp like this, really impossible to tell anything in the trenches. Front 7 on defense
sure.
is kind of tough, except for the speed of linebackers, as Telvin Smith
right.
and such. But the guys up front, it's really too tough to judge right now.
Well, and Gus mentioned Telvin Smith yesterday because he's a guy that you should be able to see at some place. If Aaron Colvin was here, you'd be able to see him. You can see cornerbacks if they've got the speed. I think Dave said it best. When a GM walks out of a camp day like this, they want to see that guys have the ability to learn, that you don't look lost. I mean, I asked him a little bit, but I've heard GMs in the past come off and say, well, there's a couple of guys out there that do not belong in this league. So you occasionally see that. So what you want is you want guys who clearly belong in the NFL, who you can – nice catch by Marquise Lee there across the middle. So, you know, you hear the fans going nuts for that. But you want to see guys that you can project not being overwhelmed in training camp. And from what Dave said, it sounds like most of these guys fit into that category.
Jaguars.com live, final couple of minutes of this period. And then we will go away with our live coverage. We'll have Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush Mini, a little later today. John, I know you'll be in depth with your coverage today, too, in the final day of the rookie mini camp here.
Yeah, and again, the story, it looks like they've opened up even more of the stands over there as we talk. They're sort of way, way down. I've never seen fans in the far corner over there. So
that's field three.
Yeah, so that's, again, I think the biggest story here is sort of off the field because you don't know how these guys are going to project. You can project how this city and how these fans feel about this team. And at some point over the weekend, I'll be writing the story about the rookies who are coming in and sort of how they feel like they fit into this franchise.
So it appears the period winding down here, and the quarterbacks and wide receivers are standing off to the side. It's water break time.
John. Water break.
Haven't reported that in a while.
Like
offensive
line break.
Getting their final work in, tight ends as well. The defensive players have slowed down their position work, and it sounds like they're about ready to blow the horn for the final part of practice here. Now, coming up this week, Jaguars Women's Club has their initial event on Tuesday night, Cleats and Cocktails on the West Touchdown Club. Jaguars.com, and then click on the Women's Club section. You can get more information on that. I'll be there. Jackson DeVille will be there. Gus and Michaela Bradley and a handful of players will be there, too. Should be a good night there, John. I know you'll be there, too, right?
When is that?
No, maybe not. Maybe you won't be there.
Really not. So.
Tuesday night. Let's wrap this thing up today, John, of course. Thank you for joining us. Jaguars.com live from Rookie Minicamp. Our thanks to Dave Caldwell. Our thanks to Tony Baselli, I guess. Frank Frangie joining us as well. Obviously, a huge day today for this franchise on the field with the rookies getting their second day of work in together. But as we said before, a bigger story off the field today with just the throngs of fans that are here.
And we mentioned how good it is for Dave Caldwell to join us. Also good of the franchise and football operations to let us do this broadcast.
No
because,
doubt.
Again, not every team in the NFL – will allow fans to sort of take a live look, even at a rookie camp. So it is a neat thing, and it's been neat to be a part of it.
John, well done as always.
Thanks, JP.
For John Osier and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. That's it for now from the Florida Blue Practice Fields, Jaguars.com live from Rookie Minicamp.